Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the Cult Pop Show podcast was brought to you by our Patreon. If you want to tell us which films we should watch, get up to 2 extra exclusive podcasts a month, give us something to talk about in the post-credits scene at the end of each episode, or join us for our monthly movie club Zoom call where we discuss a film together, then please consider joining the cult and donating at www.patreon.com/cultpopshow.
Richard, there's a ghost in the podcast, and that ghost is me, AJ. I'm dead. Welcome along.
That's right, dead excited to talk about.
Welcome along to Cult Pop Show, everybody, where we're continuing on with our Spooktober spooky podcast series. And I'm excited. I'm joined as usual by Richard, and we could not be recording this at a spookier time of day, Richard. It's 10 to 5 in the afternoon, early evening. It's very sunny out. I couldn't be more spooked.
Well, it is fitting because this tends to be the time I watch scary movies.
Right, so that you don't get
scared. So this is actually a time I associate with horror. Ooh,
like very Texas Chainsaw Massacre of you to
thank you
a dusk horror movie.
Till Dawn.
No.
Twilight Breaking Dusk.
Terrifying. We're really getting off to a terrifying start here. So today on the podcast, we put out a mandate to all of our listeners, as well as some of the Cult Pop Show family, our sometimes hosts who aren't here right now, where we thought, you know, it's Spooktober, so let's get a little spooky and let's all share experiences of our spookiest pop cultural experiences. We sort of originally envisioned this similar to our pop cultural Mount Rushmore episode,
which I think is a great off week episode, one of the highlights.
And I think that's essentially what this is, but I think people are going to lose the metaphor if you go it's your pop cultural Mount Rushmore, but also it's the spooky version.
Spooky, yeah.
So this episode is going to be called something like Spooky Pop Cultural Experiences, but I did think we could gamify it a little bit. So what I'm thinking is sort of a reverse engineered bingo, right? So everybody listening to this, pull out a pen and paper, pull out a notes app, do something I'm sure is really inconvenient because you're probably listening to this at a time where your hands aren't free.
Yeah, if you're driving, don't do that. Just take a mental note if you're driving.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. And how this is going to work is that we have 4 different categories. So there's 4 rounds, and whenever someone has sent in something or one of us says something that has either happened to you or you relate to or whatever, you get a point. I'm going to say you get 2 points for if it's exactly it and 1 point for if it's a similar situation. Some of these are very tailored to the individual, so obviously it's not going to be like the exact same for everyone. And then on the Discord, which you can find a link to in the show notes or comment on wherever you're listening to this, let us know what your high score is. You know, who will get the highest score of the most spooked listener of the show. How this is going to work is we have 4 rounds. The first round is the earliest media you remember spooking you. The second round is the spookiest media you've ever seen to this day. The third round is media that wasn't intended to be spooky but still spooked you. And the fourth round is something spooky that happened to you in real life. We have got loads of comments to get through. So Richard, I've just realized I haven't sent you the
I'm really in the dark here.
I'm going to send you
scarily in the dark.
I'm going to send you that now, and we can maybe alternate going through them together. And let's get These are my favorite off weeks. The ones where we just commiserate in living life as a consumer of pop culture together.
Putting the misery in commiserate.
Exactly. So, let's begin with our first submission, which is from Jess from Cult Popshire, one of our Cult Popshire family members, one of our sometimes hosts. And this is for the earliest media you remember spooking you. And Jess has said the Gloam Glozer from Beyond the Deep Woods. Are you familiar with this?
I'm only familiar with this because Jess has mentioned it on another podcast. Mm. It was one of the games we played. And she explained this Gloam Glozer thing that is like this terrifying reaper of death. See if I can find a picture of it. And
it's from a book series called Beyond the Deep Woods.
It's essentially like it looks like a grim reaper, but it has like giant like ram like horns and big curly kind of claws. Mm. And it's a pretty terrifying description. Illustration. My description wasn't particularly terrifying, but yeah, no, that I can understand that would be spooky. And cause I'm also not familiar with Beyond the Deep Woods, but I presume that that's some kind of, aimed at, it's a children's fantasy novel. So it's like, it's aimed at kids. So what are they doing making these, scary creatures? Spoken just like that.
It's so you have these constants you have when you grow up. You know, if I ever make children's entertainment one day,
if you ever make children,
I would want to put something spooky in there so that everyone has something to relate to when they're older, you know. So yeah, if you are also spooked by the Gloam Glozer, that's a point for you. I should also say, we haven't taken in everyone's comments. I've sort of cherry picked the best examples because otherwise we would be here for a lot longer than whatever the time code currently is. Do you want to read out the next thing?
So the next one's from Aaron, who's our Oscars host. We're bringing every year. So he said probably a tie between the Blair Witch Project or the Bone Collector, which he clarifies as a Denzel Washington movie that has 29% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And this is the beauty of early spooks, is that there's no discrimination. It doesn't have to be high art. It doesn't have to be like a Kubrickian, sort of surrealist thing. It can just be a bad movie that happened to get you. Mm. All right. Well, I thought after we share each of the, you know, various sometimes host fam bam submissions, we could share our own. So, Richard, the earliest media I remember spooking me was a Thomas the Tank Engine episode called Duck Takes Charge. I used to love Thomas the Tank Engine. And there's a scene where the fat controller gets real angry at everyone and he goes, "Silence!" And it like crash zooms in on him. And if you haven't seen the Thomas the Tank Engine show from the 90s, it's all like little wooden figures that
the acting is so wooden.
My point is the only movement is like the remote controlled trains moving, like no one's mouth moves. So it's just this crash zoom of this little figurine of the fat controller. And I watched it as an adult and like, I'm not surprised this scared me as a kid. It's terrifying.
I've seen this as well. And I must have been you that showed it to me, but I feel like I may have seen it in like Reddit posts, you know, of things that scared you as a kid.
Right.
But maybe I am just conflating that.
Maybe I wasn't the only one who was scared by Duck Takes Charge. Duck, by the way, being inexplicably the name of one of the trains. his name was Duck. So if you, I mean, again, is there, have you got a point, listeners? Was anyone else scared by the fat controller yelling silence? Because I remember loving Thomas the Tank Engine, but clarifying with mum whenever a new episode would come on and the title card would come up, being like, is this Duck Takes Charge?
Because
I couldn't read, you know. Yeah.
Like, I mean, whenever Rugrats would come on, I would go, "What's it say? What's it say?" And then someone who could read would have to come in and tell me, and I would get very upset if they didn't make it in time.
What was the earliest memory you have of being spooked by the media?
So it's actually quite similar to my little Rugrats story just then. So there's a show called Fireman Sam.
The Rebels Postman Pat.
It is. It's the same vein as Postman Pat. It's now all CG, but it was that kind of claymation sort of, or, you know, halfway between sort of thing. And so I need to take you back a little bit further. As a kid, I had very sensitive hearing. I had grommets in my ear, if you know what those are. They're like little tubes they put in your ear.
Little dogs, claymation
yeah.
dogs.
Yeah, these little tubes they put in your ear. They stay in there for I don't know how long, and then I think they just naturally fall out. I vaguely remember getting them taken out, but it's essentially like if your ears build up a lot of wax and whatnot, which mine still do. Same, you know, it's just so I can like drain them out, sort of thing. And as a result of this, I had very sensitive hearing, which I hilariously referred to as my loud ears, which is one of these things that it's very funny when people make fun of me for it, you know. Like, I'm willing to admit that, I mean, it's gonna get old pretty fucking quick now that I've made it out there publicly, but someone mentioned it at my 21st,
old Richard, and loud ears Martin.
Yeah, like you've referenced it before to me, which I thought was very funny. And but like, it's one of those things because it was such like a like my family thing growing up that as I've gotten older, I've told people about, and someone told the story, my sister told the story at my 21st, and then it was just people, you weren't at my 21st, but there was like people would reference my loud ears to me, and it's just this funny thing that it's like, what, you know, was this a very inner circle kind of thing getting bigger and bigger. But anyway, I had very sensitive hearing, and so I would like wear earplugs to the movies so that like it would like make the movies a normal kind of volume. I could hear it properly.
Right.
Yeah, there was Fireman Sam had this this theme song, and when it would end, the title would come in with this like big whoosh and this big like electronic kind of sound that was like a massive crescendo, and I would
I
run out.
I'll put it in the episode.
Yeah, yeah. If you can find, because I think I've looked for it before, and there's like a dozen different versions of the same theme song. So I'll see if I can find the right one. And yeah, and I would run out of the room, very scared of that noise. Big Fireman Sam fan though, but just one part of the theme song I could not watch.
Wow, if anyone relates or anything similar to that, I feel like loud sounds in kids' shows are probably quite a... I feel like that's the kind of thing that you mention to someone and it suddenly awakens a deep-seated memory of another loud sound that they were scared of as a kid. bit more Scream on the Discord. Everyone has fun Halloween or Phantasm related nicknames on the Discord at the moment. They commented, Blair Witch trailer 1999. I was 9. I went to the bathroom before going to sleep after having seen the trailer earlier that day. I'd seen a few posters of it and heard about it because the marketing for that film was absolutely groundbreaking. I came out of the washroom and she was standing there down the hall outside of my bedroom, hunched a bit because she was so tall. One skinny mangled arm around my doorframe, welcoming me back to my room. I screamed and ran straight downstairs when my parents were watching King Rat. Spent the whole night with the light on, still never seen it. Yeah. I like, this is the only one that ascertains that the monster is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
the literal Blair Witch, someone you don't actually see in the movie,
You do see her later on, like in she's in the movie Blair Witch, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, that sounds very much like it would have been earned and not ruined the mystique at all.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a like a figurine you can get of the Blair Witch. She looks pretty spooky.
A lot of people got to be getting points for this. I'm sure Blair Witch for people of a certain age was quite spooky.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people's Fireman Sam, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a lot of people's duck takes charge.
All right, the next one we've got is for Pat.748 on Instagram. It says, Googling ghosts are real with friends at the age of 7 was very spooky.
Relatable. I mean, I was maybe a little bit older than 7, but, you know, I think we've talked about this on previous Spooktober episodes that, like, one of my most cherished memories was like looking up spooky shit with my friends when I was like 11 or 12. So yeah, can relate to that. We also got a comment on Discord from a very fun non-spooky username that is Vinny is not squared a weeb on Discord. And Vinny said, earliest thing I remember scaring me was the old THX logo that would play before movies. I learned what the mute button was because I dreaded every time the loud hum would come in. Very similar to your Fine and Sam.
Fellow and, loud ears have a...
And we got a few, and I think there's a couple more coming up. We got a few loud logo sounds.
Yeah, next one, the last one for these, this first round, is from Carlisle, who recently made our new Problematic Corner theme song, if you heard
it.
Oh,
yes. Thank you, Carlisle.
Thank you, Carlisle. Said, when I was a youngling, probably about 9, my neighbor would occasionally drive me and my brothers to school along with her children. For some reason, she decided that the most sensible school trip listening in the dark early hours of the morning was one of the editions of the radio play of War of the Worlds. I'd never gotten nightmares from spoopy media since, but that shit fucked me up. Yeah, that is like, there's some spooky shit in there. Like, I mean, I'm mostly familiar with the musical version, which is pretty good. And even that has like some spooky shit in it.
Do you think any of our listeners were alive when like the famed radio play hoax happened and they're like adding this to their points? Because it's like, yeah, I was scared by the radio play of War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the next category we put out there was the spookiest media you've ever seen to this day. And we got a couple of submissions from our family, from our sometimes hosts here at Cold Popshire. Aaron from Cold Popshire said, the scariest sub piece of media would be the scene from Mulholland Drive with the homeless witch woman, which I love reading that places. And like people always cite that as one of the scariest things they've ever seen. And I think that's really cool. And I think there's something really special about that scene in Mulholland Drive. And especially because I saw it when without knowing any, knowing that there was a famous scary scene in it.
Yeah.
And I think it is scary, particularly because of how simple it is and how it just does what it said. Like, they tell you in the movie, something's going to happen. There's a homeless, they literally say, I think that there's a homeless person outside that looks really scary. And it's just this super chilling moment. You should check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen the movie or watched the movie, I guess.
But it's also like not a scary movie, so you're kind of like, you don't expect a jump scare.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Emily, who's one of our, you know, sometimes hosts, mentioned the alien birthday scene from Signs.
Very much the second, probably
the
most
Sam.
The Fireman Sam of scary influential media. I think this goes hand in hand with the Mulholland Drive scene as like maybe the best, scariest, or like most authentic jump scares in horror movie history, I want to say. There's a movie I saw recently I really like called Creep, which weaves Creep is amazing. It weaves the idea of a jump scare into like the narrative language of it. It's great. But I made a video essay earlier this year about the scene, and because it scared me as well, and I thought it was terrifying and is maybe one of the most, biggest touchstones for people who were born in 1993. Sorry, there's a police car going past.
Is that the scariest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah. Police repression, oppressive police. So I thought I would come in here with the spookiest media I think I've ever seen, because I have said on record that the birthday party scene from Signs is the scariest thing I've ever seen. But I think I saw The Grudge like a year after Signs when I was 11 or 12. And I remember feeling like that was much scarier than Signs, but it's not as good of a movie. So I don't like to be like, yeah, the most I've ever been scared is by the 2005 American Grudge movie. Because I think Signs is a much better movie and it's way cooler to be like, yeah, I also had this experience with everyone. But if you've seen The Grudge, I remember seeing a trailer for it when it was on in the movies, and the like little boy like next to the bed, and he goes like, ah! And it is just, I remember seeing that on TV and just being like,
it sounds hilarious.
This is, this is the goddamn scariest thing I've ever seen. Like, this is, how is this allowed to be made? And then I remember my parents got it out on DVD for family movie night and just being like, I am going to hate myself for watching this. And I sort of watched it, you know, behind
and
my head.
And you sort of had hated yourself ever since.
Yeah, that's true. That was what did it. What's the scariest piece of media you've seen to this day, Richard?
All right, the scariest piece of media I've ever seen is... So I recently played through Doki Doki Literature Club, which is a dating sim that turns pretty spooky. And I said it's probably the scariest video game I've ever played. But because it's probably the only scary video game I've ever played. But it's Doki Doki Literature Club is such a great game. You can finish it in like 3 hours, and I did it all in one sitting kind of thing. But it goes on for like just a bit too long as like a dating sim, but like in a good way. Mm-hmm. Like it goes on because like when you start the game, it's like, this is like disturbing, do not play this if you're under 18, like very makes it clear like this is contains disturbing content. But it's like it then goes on for like over 90 minutes of like, this is just a dating sim, isn't it? And then boom, something scary happens. And yeah, it's nice. it's a very fun thing. But that is not the scariest piece of media. That's the most scariest piece of, like, you know, the kind of the big tiers of media. You've got like video games, movies, sure, TV shows, books. The scariest thing I've ever seen, scariest media I've ever consumed, and I think you actually know more about this than I do, because I haven't, it's not something I've tried to revisit because it's too scary, but there's this web comic that it's like a spooky web comic, and you scroll through it. And then at a certain point, you expect to a big dramatic reveal, and then the web page scrolls for you, and this head, this terrifying face, turns around, and it makes this loud noise, and it's like, it's unfairly scary. Like I fucking hate these, like, or the maze thing that gives you a fright. That got me as well, and I like fell off my computer chair and like. Pinched some fucking nerve in my ribs when I was like, yeah. But I you mentioned it recently, I think, in the last,
I mentioned
like,
it on the Discord
in the last month or so.
It's called like Walking Home at Night or something like that.
Yeah, and it's like,
you can find it if you look up like scary shit,
scary webcomic. But yeah, no, it's like it was a repressed memory that I'd completely forgotten about until you mentioned it. And fucking scary shit. Not unfairly scary.
That's a good way to put it. Sam Stanley on Facebook commented that the two movies that still instill paranoia in me are Lights Out and It Follows. I'm a very secluded person, so the idea that people are focusing on me with malicious intent is no longer comfort of my own home disturbs me. I think I can relate to that.
Yeah, I believe Jess actually said... Jess from Cult Pop, she said It Follows as well was the scariest movie she's seen.
But then she changed her answer and I didn't include it. So if you're bummed out that your answer wasn't included, we didn't even include all of the actual Cult Pop members' answers. Mm. So don't feel bad.
I found the thing. My cats just started scratching at the door when I said that. So it's like, I was like, I found that scary comment. Nick from Maryland on Discord said, Resident Evil 7 got me real bad. Something about the ambience and how fucking gross that game is got to me good. There's also this YouTube video of a Japanese guy going on a tour through his house during a typhoon, and it also scared the pants off me for being incredibly eerie.
It sounds incredibly eerie. Yeah. Don't want to see that.
Yeah. Like, it's house tours, spooky house tours on YouTube, the Mr. Blobby one.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Do you want to tell the story?
Oh, so there's an abandoned... So how far back do I go? Do people know who Mr. Blobby is? I don't really even know I very vaguely know who Mr. Blobby is. It's like a British character.
Kids show mascot kind of thing.
Yeah, it'd be like a guy in a suit and it's like this pink... Blob. Friendly looking monster, blobby monster. And his voice is like modulated, so it's higher. And he goes, sort of thing. And it's supposed to not be scary, but I imagine a lot of British kids were scared by it.
Jack Whitehall is famously terrified of it.
Right. And then there was this clip that got uploaded to YouTube once. Someone found the abandoned Mr. Blobby amusement theme park. And it's just like, it's in the middle of this forest and there's like all these sort of concrete. It's a very poor excuse for a theme park. It looks more like you've ever been to like a New Zealand beach and gone to the playground. There's been like a stone whale or something that you can climb up. It's like that sort of vibe. And this guy's like filming around and then he turns around and someone dressed as Mr. Blobby standing there and, you know, Blair Witches him basically. And I've just, you know, I've ruined it for you if you haven't seen it, but it's very funny and it's fun to prank people with. If they know who Mr. Blobby is. You need a lot of context. JJ Jessica Johnson on Instagram said, I was lucky or maybe unlucky enough to be one of the first audiences to see Hereditary when it debuted at Sundance. I was given a ticket by one of the staff members and was told, basically, it's about a family. Don't ask questions. Just go watch it. Only once in line did I hear rumblings about how scary it was. And as someone who rarely watches horror, I was less than stoked. Cue 120-something minutes of unhinged madness with an audience of unsuspecting fools like myself. I will never forget the uncomfortable shrieks slowly spreading through the audience as we all one by one found Toni Collette scurrying around the ceiling during the prolonged static shot or the sheer silence during the one scene. You know the part. I was talking about this on Twitter with someone like this week that I saw Hereditary in the cinemas and there's that scene where it like slow zooms out of Alex Wolff's bedroom and Toni Collette in ghost form is like sort of spider crawling along the roof and people noticed it at different times. And it's one of the most kind of transcendent movie cinema going experiences I've ever had, hearing gasps across the cinema as people saw it at different times. It was really cool.
That's good. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Hereditary.
No?
Scary? It's funny that JJJ Jessica Johnson watched this under the best possible conditions. I watched it after a year of people telling me it was the best film of the year and that even though you don't like horror, this transcends it, you know? It's like you just have to watch it. So I think it was New Year's Eve, actually. It was middle of the day. It was very sunny. I was like, this is disarming. I was very tired. I think I'd been working the morning shift. So I was half asleep. The glare was covering 90% of the screen. And I didn't think it was that good. I'm sorry, but I didn't.
I will say this. I do think Hereditary is a more dramatically confronting movie than it is a scary movie. This is not the section for what's the most
dramatically confronting. I was like, because I even what I was like, you know, not interested in Hereditary. And then when Midsommar came out, I was like, ugh, same fucking director. I don't have to, you know, go. And then people were saying it was good, and I was like, I still really don't want to see it. And then we ended up getting free tickets to it. And so I was like, all right, fine, we'll go. And I thought it was incredible. I'd love Midsommar, man. What a good movie.
Nice.
Brentasm on Discord says, spooky implies ghosts to me. So it might not be the scariest, but The Ring spooked me right out. The lady's face during the tape where she just stares at the camera, Samara gradually coming out of the well, the horses, the hair, they really had that spooky aesthetic down.
It's very interesting that this seems to imply that Brentasm doesn't think Samara is a ghost. Is Samara not like a classic example of a movie ghost?
That's his point.
Ah,
he's saying it's not the scariest, but it implies ghost, so this is the one he beat with.
Right. I understand. I'm sorry. We should pair this with the next comment that I've noted down here, which is from Grace Stapleton on Facebook. She said, I've only started watching horror movies over the past year, and I wasn't expecting it to be as scary as everyone said, especially in the age of digital media, but The Ring was so tense and terrifying. Ha ha. And I really, I love that The Ring is kind of like the dark horse of mid-2000s. It's probably the best like mainstream horror of the 2000s. For better or worse. I think that's a pretty poor decade for horror. But I do think there is something we've talked before quite a few times actually about how like creepypasta I think is so intriguing to those of a certain generation because it involves like how you consume media. And I think that's what attracted me to The Ring so much, was that it was about a videotape. But to Brent's comment, I remember seeing Samara coming out of the TV and stuff and being like, holy shit, I can never watch this.
I've never seen The Ring, but I did, I was just doing some Googling about the Blair Witch Project. Some scientific thing has just proven the Blair Witch Project to be the scariest film of all time, and number two is Gore Verbinski's The Ring.
Wow.
So,
really? That sounds apparently a bit of a no. I don't think Gore Verbinski's The Ring is the second scariest movie of all time. That sounds like a very Western focused list. I think if you included like Japanese horror, you wouldn't have any American movie in that list. The Almighty Watcher on Discord also said An Inconvenient Truth was the spookiest media they've seen to this day.
Vinny is not a weeb on Discord said, the scariest thing for me was in high school, I played Dead Space 1 in the middle of the night with headphones on at almost max volume. I wanted to be fully enveloped by the game and thought it was a good idea. Damn game scared me half to death, but is now my favorite horror game of all time. Cannot wait for the remake. Yeah, the like playing video games and like trying to give yourself the, you know, the right thing. Just like a couple of nights ago, I just got these like the leaf lights that you can change color and you can make Alexa change the color of them. And one of them like reacts to, you can make yourself reacts to like to noise. There's one, it's called Hot Sauce is the name of the color. And it's just like reds and oranges and stuff like that. And it reacts to noise. And I was like, oh, I'll put this on and play a little bit of Dead by Daylight. And it was, you know, middle of the night kind of thing. And Dead by Daylight's loading screen is a heartbeat. And then so it was like, doo, 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 doo. And in time with the heartbeat, the room just lights up completely with red. And I was like, ah, I'm going to turn this off. it's too scary.
Yeah.
And then my other, like, very similar to Vincent, similar kind of thing is I was playing one of the Arkham games. I think it might be Asylum. And I had headphones on in my bed playing. And there's this level where you're up against the Scarecrow. And it's like, you know, Scarecrow's whole thing is he makes shit scary for you. And just the audio, it's in like surround sound. So it moves, you know, you've got headphones and it moves like from left to right. And it's like, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. And it was like the fucking scare. I had to turn it off.
Yeah. I understand that. I recently my flat and I we tried to play Alien Isolation, which is, you know, quite a famously scary, I think, PlayStation 4 game, PlayStation 3 game, and there was like a point like handing the controller to me and it was like, I can't do this.
I'm a little boy.
Yeah, it is too scary. I actually cannot keep playing this. Mike Tasm on Discord says, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is still the scariest film I've seen. The moment when you realize the grandpa is still alive and starts sucking the blood from the tip of her finger. Man, such a visceral and brutal movie. And yeah, I think that's a really good, if we were ranking these, I think that'd be a really good contender for
yeah, I would say it's scarier things than Gore Verbinski's The Ring. I think visceral is the right word. Like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, obviously it's dated in certain ways, but like it's a gross movie. It's gritty and it's like it was made for such a small budget. And like the actress who plays the final girl is like so good at being horrified that it genuinely feels and looks like a snuff film, I think, is the whole thing. You know?
Yeah. It feels like you're watching a live leak. Like you're watching something that it's not legal to possess.
Yeah. Well, if you're watching the second one in a news.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
New Zealand, you are.
Oh, there you go.
It's banned in New Zealand. Jibuchold on Discord says Eternal Darkness for the GameCube, despite not aging well, still holds the record for me for raw. Nope, fuck this power. There's a jump scare crash zoom on a bathtub full of blood. That was the exact point I stopped playing the game, handed it off to a friend, and it was the exact point he stopped too.
Another crash zoom makes its way into this episode.
The scariest of all zooms.
It is the scariest of all zooms. Or is the vertigo shot more...
Or like a good dramatic slow zoom.
Yeah, maybe zoom is just a scary...
Maybe zoom is the scariest camera movement. And then, yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, let's move on to our third category, which is media that wasn't intended to be spooky but still spooked you. And I thought this was the most fascinating of all the answers. Some of them are like, haha, yeah, I guess that was scary. But some of them are like, yeah... some of them are like, yeah, that is scary and I can't quite put my finger on it, and that kind of thing is scarier than something you can, like, that's the definition of scary, is you know, fear of the unknown. So we've got Jess from our family, from our cult popular family, said Skimbleshanks the railway cat, and which, from the movie from Cats,
yeah, which generally I played the song over and over again one day because it's the best song in Cats, and it induced a mild panic attack in Jess.
But then similarly, Jeremy, our other sometimes host, commented, "It genuinely frightens me that anyone thought Russell Crowe's performance as Javert in Les Mis was good enough to release in film form." Very funny answer, but it is, you know, they both independently gave us Tom Hooper musical adaptations as the scariest thing that wasn't intended to be scary. And Emily from Cult Pop just says, Mr. Burns in the episode where he's mistaken for an alien. Yeah. I bring you love. My answer to this is, you know the song, I think it's called Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush.
Heathcliff!
Oh, don't. It's actually, like, I think that is the scariest song ever written.
Yeah, it is. Kate Bush has a terrifying voice.
When I mentioned this one recently to a musical friend of mine, and they were like, "What do you mean? That's such a cheerful, happy song." And I was like, "Is it? I've always assumed it was this sorrowful, like, wailing." It sounds like it sounds like it's being sung by, like, a cursed undead bride who's
it would be a great like track for a horror movie of like because it does sound inherently a little bit creepy, but it's also the kind of that great juxtaposition.
And Wuthering Heights the novel is about ghosts, so I always assumed it's about ghosts. I always assumed it was intentional, but apparently people are supposed to people like the song and they find it pleasant. I wouldn't say I dislike it. I don't want to listen to it because I think it's really scary. I think the first time I ever heard it was, did your mum, when you would get up for school... Did your mum, when you'd get up for high school in the morning, did she have like More FM on or like the radio, breakfast radio?
Fucking Barnett
and
shit.
Yeah, and you hear like the worst, like I remember waking up to Big Girls Don't Cry by Fergie every day for felt like 6 months. And I think that context is where I first heard Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush.
Right.
Was like slowly waking up to this sorrowful, ghostly wailing that like lured me out of my dreams. And I just thought it was so scary. Yes. So that's my answer.
That's a great answer.
Media that isn't supposed to be spooky that really scares me. What about you?
This one, actually, I didn't really come up with one that was like a great, because this is the one that like it, you know, demands like a great answer. The only kind of one, the main one that my mind immediately went to was like, I hate jump scares. I just think they're lazy. I think they're stupid.
Oh, they're not in Creep, though, dude. They're woven into the narrative and actually become like a convention of the
story. Like, I can appreciate a good jump scare if I know it's coming, you know? Like, I can appreciate what goes into crafting one. There's a great one in Sinister. There's a great one in...
Signs.
Insidious. No, wait, what's...
Mulholland Drive.
Is it Insidious with the...
You're thinking of Insidious, yeah.
With Ethan Hawke.
Darth Maul looking thing.
No, okay. No. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, there is one in Insidious. There's also one in Sinister.
Ah, okay.
Which, yeah, the one with the Darth Maul looking one, and then there's also the one of the Ethan Hawke one. There's also a famously great one in Psycho 3, weirdly.
Is it the one where she, no, I'm thinking of The Exorcist 3. Where the
yeah, it's The Exorcist 3, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, that always fascinated me. I've only ever seen that clip.
Yeah, so.
And I just thought that was really spooky.
But, yeah, and like I remember, because you know I hate jump scares. I remember you saw It 2 before I did, and you like messaged me that there was a jump scare, that you were going to like be like, oh, hey, by the way, there's a bit. When they look under the bed, there's a jump scare. Because there wasn't really jump scares in the first one.
There's like one, but it's expected, so you're already like tense.
And then you're like, oh, I'll let Richard know about the jump scare in the second one. And then the second one's entirely jump scares. So you're like, well, there's one when they look under the bed, and then the whole rest of the movie's filled with them. But the one jump scare that always gets me, because it's like I'm always just slightly off with the timing. I'm like, it's going to be now, no, and then is in The Dark Knight when... Nesta Carbonell's character, who plays the mayor of Gotham, it's at the football with some game, and he's looking out the window.
No, he's in his office.
Yeah.
You're thinking of Dark Knight Rises.
I am thinking of Dark Knight Rises, and so he's looking out the building, and then the fake Batman killed slams on the glass in front of him, and it's like I've never been able to not actually be jump scared.
Interesting. Nice. Tall Rhett's man on Discord says, I once woke up from a nightmare to the Melting Barbie theme song because of autoplay. Does that count? I'm assuming referring to our Barbie episode where we played another theme song written by Carlisle, made by Carlisle, that eventually divulged into madness. So I'm glad that we made it onto this list. That the Cult Popture podcast made it into media that wasn't intended to be spooky but still spooked you.
Sam Stanley says on Facebook, said, as a child, The Simpsons freaked me out at times. The gore and Itchy and Scratchy upset me. And then there was the one episode when Bart falls for a slightly older girl next door, Laura Powers. And in a fantasy sequence, she tears his heart out and discards it. The color palette and sinister voice she had turned me off the show for quite some time. That's a great scene. And I remember seeing like a behind the scenes of that. And about like doing the Foley for like the heart being thrown and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great scene. And it's one of those like really artistic things that The Simpsons like doesn't do a lot.
Right.
That like the way the color palette changes.
Well, I mean, and that can be the scariest thing is when a TV show you rely on suddenly does, you know, something unexpected. I remember the first time seeing the reveal shot of Nosferatu in that SpongeBob episode.
Yeah.
That gave me a fright the first time I saw that. Scott Dorr on Instagram says there was an ad on TV for a show about dangerous animals where a snake had come up a toilet pipe and had its head sticking out of the bowl. Scared me shitless. I don't know if that's not intended to be spooky. I'm sure that crossed their mind.
Yeah. Hey, to tell you what, another... spooky thing like that just awoken me, which was I maintain this is intended to be spooky, but everyone's like, no, Richard, that's a funny scene. But the trailer for Evolution, which it was almost won our Patreon podcast, and I was glad it didn't, so I didn't have to watch it. But this movie Evolution from I think 2000, it's got David Duchovny in it, and the trailer Sean for William that Scott. Scared the fucking shit out of me. With this bug that goes under the guy's skin. I recently saw the scene on TikTok, actually, and I was like, this must be part of the scene. But there's a joke about the guy's dick or something like that. But yeah, God, this like bug crawling under his skin. Fuck, no, thank you.
That was in The Mummy. You managed that in The Mummy fight.
Yeah, but I didn't see it in The Mummy until I was 26.
Right, sorry.
I saw this when I was a trailer for it when I was 7. They played it at like Muppets in Space, and I was like, what are you doing?
Why, it's this, Muppets in Space!
This is supposed to be a safe space, and you're playing what is clearly a horror movie trailer.
Hedy McCarthy on Instagram says the BBC opening sting on 90s children's VHS tapes. I checked this out, and the comment section on the video, on the YouTube video for the BBC opening sting, is full of people being like, this is the cause of my trauma. This is the origin of my trauma. I'll put the clip in here. And I think what's scary about this is that it's like, it sounds, again, it sounds very sorrowful. It sounds like, for something that's supposed to like come before a like kids show or whatever, it sounds more like it's like scoring a death scene in like ER or something,
right.
like someone dying, and then like it almost sounds sad, sounds longing, that sort of thing.
I was like the
Yeah, I just felt it. And I feel like that is again, that's in the ballpark of your Fireman Sam thing, of it being.
No,
like
my Fireman Sam one's way cooler. Chris underscore Blackmore said, "Yep, yep, Muppets."
The yep, Muppets. From Sesame
right.
Street.
I thought they were just like, yep, yep, Muppets. That's mine.
No, yep. Carlisle again on Discord says, this is going to sound hilarious, but the first time I got into Minecraft, I had to play it on peaceful difficulty because I found the noises of the skeletons and shit would make when I couldn't see them, but I knew they were there to me to be too intense. I relate to this. One of the earliest memories I have of being scared of a video game was playing the Chicken Run PlayStation 1 yeah. adaptation, and you have to play as Ginger walking around the coop, and the dogs are patrolling, and you could see where everything was on a little mini map, and I just remember finding that so scary that I could see where they were on the mini map in relation to me. Mm. So I get like not scary video games being scary.
Yeah Well, especially like it's interesting, the one of the most common thread in this is spooky noises.
Auditory.
Which actually leads me into my next one, but we're not there yet. So the Almighty Watcher on Discord said, I saw the Truman Show when I was like 9 or 10, and it made me question my own existence and gave me so much anxiety about existence and life and the purpose of life. And those thoughts really fucked with me for a lot of years. A very, very existential. It's Lovecraftian horror.
Yeah. I think there's a, that's a special kind of spook. Spookiness that makes you question reality is different to you know, Fireman Sam and loud ears. Kirk Flom on Instagram says, Spielberg's E.T. damn alien was ugly and gave me nightmares. In fact, at primary school, we were given sheet music to take home for recorder lessons, and one was the E.T. theme, which had a picture of E.T. on it. I couldn't have it in my room at night, so I hid it under the couch in the lounge. Sorry, John Williams. I'm sure you did John Williams a favor by not playing his score on recorder.
I missed the fact that it said it had a picture of E.T. on it, so I thought it was just the sheet music. He would look at it and be able to hear the theme and go, no.
he does have a point though. E.T. is a pretty, is not like not a scary image, you
well
know?
It's similar to like clowns.
Yeah, right, totally. Yeah,
yeah.
It's more the context that the story of E.T. is told in that makes it less scary. Cool. Well, now we're going to move to our final category, Richard, which is, getting out of the realms of pop culture somewhat to talk about something spooky that happened to you in real life, which I love that we included this. I love that we've gone off script for this one. And I think maybe the best stories actually come from this. So let's all gather around the campfire and tell each other the times.
And sing a campfire song.
We nearly died. Tell each other the times where something unexplained happened. This is what Spooktober is all about.
So Jess said from Cult Popture said, almost got Final Destinationed once. A bunch of long metal rods fell off out the back of a ute in front of me and had to fully pull a Vin Diesel out of there. This is not only a great way to describe it, but God, this is like, you know, if at all possible, I will not drive behind a truck with stuff attached to it just because of it. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So point to everyone who could relate to that. Remember how we were doing points?
I haven't forgotten. I just didn't want to drive it into the ground by mentioning it every time.
And yeah, I've been driving behind cars, or like I've been passengers, never even while I'm driving, but a tire flying off and a trailer disconnecting
God.
Like fucking flying across the road.
This is why I don't drive, dude.
Yeah.
Jeremy from Cold Popture also said, sat in a room next to a dead person for an hour and before I realized they were dead. Didn't provide any more context.
What a hilariously terrifying story. And I wish we had more context, and maybe Jeremy will kindly provide that in the Discord or something.
A point to anyone who relates.
So strap in. This one's from Aaron, and it says, this is maybe more scary than spooky, but one time I was asleep in my room on a Sunday morning when I hear the sound of my door opening, and in my head I was just like, oh, it's just Dad come to wake me up for our Sunday morning run, which he did every week. Then I had another thought. Wait, Mum and Dad are away this weekend. I'm the only one in the house, and there's definitely someone there. Oh, God, I'm about to be murdered. This is how it ends. And then sure enough, I hear a voice say, hey, bro. And I prepare myself to be knifed to death, roll over, open my eyes, and there's this guy standing there dressed in, like, going out town clothes, and he's like, I can't find my phone. And I'm like, okay. So I get up and help him look for his phone. He tells me that he can't remember anything from the previous night. I never asked, but I assume he thought we'd like met the night before in town and became friends and shared a taxi home or something, because it turns out he'd slept in my brother's bed. Anyway, we couldn't find his phone, so he left. He said he lived in my neighborhood as well, like just down the street, but I never saw him again.
This is such an interesting story. So this guy used the fact that he couldn't remember what happened as like an excuse to be like, I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Just broken into a house. That's hilarious. My story happened to me recently, a couple months back, and there's photos on my Instagram, which you can check out if you're so interested. I made a TikTok about it as well. I was sitting on my couch in the evening, and I looked out the window into like my courtyard, where our washing line is, and between like the gap in the curtain that was covering the window and the window itself, there was a pair of underwear or something hanging on the line, and just the way that everything was placed from my perspective, it looked like an incredibly realistic eye of an old man. Like this old man was just staring at me, and my heart skipped a beat when I saw it, and then I sort of like started to understand what I was looking at. I took pictures of it. It's one of the craziest things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah,
it doesn't just look like an eye. It looks like an incredibly detailed eye.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought it looked like a squid eye when you sent it to me. It looked like Admiral Ackbar's looking at you.
Yeah, sure. It's sort of like what it is. It's the tag on a pair of underwear, like curled over, with a few things on, like, you know, behind it on the clothesline, giving it the look of like it has an iris and like sort of a light glint in its eye. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in real life. And I'll post it on the Cold Popture Instagram as well if people are interested. I'm sure I posted it in the Discord, but this is the spookiest thing.
All right, spookiest thing that's ever happened to me. Again, mine was also reasonably recently. And another auditory thing. So,
I know the story.
So quite often Jess will go to bed before I do. I snore quite badly, so she likes to get a head start on sleeping. And she also, she like can't sleep without this audiobook playing. There's a specific like narrator for audiobooks that she likes to fall asleep listening to, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And she puts it on a timer for half an hour or whatever. So quite often I will just stay up doing what, you know, playing PlayStation or whatever, and then it's been about half an hour going, and then it will have stopped because I can't fall asleep with it playing. And so I go to bed, probably been about an hour since Jess has gone to bed. I think, I did have the week the next day, but Jess, you know, had gone to bed quite early. And I get in, and I start trying to go to sleep, and I can just hear the faintest, like, terrifying noise. And it's like, I hear audiobooks played out, there's nothing playing. And it's really hard to describe, but it's this, like, ethereal kind of... No, it's I described it as being, it's what you imagine like heaven would sound like. Mm. And it was
unlike Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. Yeah.
It was this weird thing where it was like, it was so faint, but it was like deafening at the same time, because I could tell it was coming from outside, and it was like, you know, it was so faint, but because it was through the wall to outside, it must be really loud outside, you know? And so it was this like terrifying thing. And I was like lying in bed, and I was messaging you in the Discord being like, I can hear this noise. Like this is, and it was terrifying. And I started to get genuinely like really scared. I got in my own head about it. And I was like, I actually need to go outside. I couldn't see anything out the window. And I was like, I need to go outside and see what it was. And then that was the last that Discord heard of me for a few for over 12 hours. And then when I came back, and there was some funny memes about me going missing, which I very much enjoyed. But I did end up just going to sleep. But I did find out the source of the noise. And then when I came back, and people were like, "What was?" And then I was like, "All right, who wants to know what the noise was?" And then someone was like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Okay," I never told the story. I did have one or two people message me privately and be like, just between us, what was the noise? So here is, if anyone remembers that and is wondering, here's what the noise was. You've been hearing it underneath the story I've been telling so far. It's a thing called crystal soundscapes. And that night, I put on pants to go outside and I was like, I'll just check. Just tell Jess, like, you know, so that someone knows where I've gone if I disappear. So I was like, Jess, this, can you hear anything? And she wakes up, pulls out her phone, pauses this YouTube video, Crystal Soundscapes, and goes, what? and so, yeah, for the first time ever, she decided to fall asleep to something other than her audiobook. And it's this fucking horrifying noise. And I had no idea. And she had it under her pillow, which was why it was so muffled. Mm. And so, yeah, that was the scariest thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, wow. Score a point, everyone, if that ever happened to you. General Bison on Instagram says Brexit. It's the scariest thing that's ever happened to him.
Dimitri from around on Discord says, so when we were in Germany, my dad was deployed. My mom, my sisters, and I went to church one evening. When we came home, someone had scattered white rose petals all over the second story hallway. No one else had keys to the house. We didn't have pets, and it seemed too intentional to be an accident. We didn't have any flowers in the house at the time, and even if we did, they wouldn't have been roses because my mom really isn't a fan. To this day, no one has fessed up to doing it, and we have no idea who it could have been. That's spooky.
That sounds some German shit. For something about that story is like, it just makes sense that it happened in Germany too.
It's the German, it's like the German version of the Tooth Fairy. He just does this.
Bryn Howe on Facebook says, my friends and I using a golf course as a shortcut to cross some streets over in the middle of the night. We knew it was private property, but it saved us a good 20 minutes of walking. When we used the same path back, we heard the loudest clashing sound we've ever heard, and my head went to someone throwing a rake at a window. It was actually just the sprinklers turning on and hitting the generators.
I like that this has an explanation.
God as well. I would have been terrified.
Here's one that doesn't have an explanation, or does it? From the Almighty Watcher on Discord. It says, my partner and I drove from my family cottage to a beach a bit more north. We hit no traffic either way. The trip there took an hour and the trip back took 2.5 hours. We had a receipt for food right before we left. The trip consisted of driving straight on a single road for the entire time. Neither of us felt the trip home was any longer. It's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to either of us, and there's no explanation. I would just it was probably just daylight savings time. You probably just crossed
a time zone.
yeah like it was like it was 2 a.m or something. And then like I would love if there's just a hilariously simple explanation for this, or like you like the receipt for food that they had their time wrong.
Other people are suggesting like it's alien abduction, but it's actually just the receipt machine wasn't updated for daylight savings.
Daylight savings is straight up involved somehow. and I would say that they're like, it's maybe it was like an hour and a quarter the way there and an hour and a quarter on the way back, but you're rounding it down on the way there because you're like, oh, we made pretty good time. We'll round that about an hour. And then on the way back, it was about an hour and, you know, slightly over an hour, but you round that up to an hour and a half with the extra hour from the receipt time being wrong.
Yeah.
Not to discredit your spooky story, because it is, I'm sure.
Just and explain it away.
Yeah.
New podcast idea, explaining away spooky stories. Spoodle Group on Discord says, I experienced sleep paralysis, which is terrifying. As well as a variety of fatigue-induced hallucinations, visual, auditory, and tactile. The spookiest of these was when I dreamt that a man made of swamp mud and debris, like on the cover of the Goosebumps book You Can't Scare Me, was reaching out to me. I woke up as it put its hand round my throat, but when I opened my eyes, there was a figure made of shadow looming over top of me. I could feel it choking me, hear it laughing. I could see its pearly white teeth and shining eyes in the dark as it grinned down at me. My chest was on fire because I couldn't breathe, and not a single muscle in my body would move, no matter how much I willed them to. Then it whispered something unintelligible to me, and suddenly I was free. I could breathe, I could move, I was fine. It was like nothing had ever been there. To this day, even though I've had episodes of sleep paralysis and waking nightmares / hallucinations, I've never had one of them so actively harm me as that.
Terrifying. That's the worst one.
Worst one on here. I have this nightmare I always think about that I had once. And I didn't include this as the spookiest thing that ever happened to me, because it didn't literally happen. It was a dream. But I dreamt I was standing in the middle of a recently burnt down forest. So like sort of ash, very cloudy sky, and skeletal trees and stuff, sort of thing. And then in front of me, this shadowy figure conjured, came into being, and it had really, really piercing white eyes. I remember it kind of looked like Eddie Murphy, but that's neither here nor there. And it all of a sudden lurched towards me and stopped so that its face was right in front of my face. And then it went, and I woke up to air hitting my nose. Is that a cool story?
It was made significantly less cool by you saying it looked like Eddie Murphy.
It looked like Eddie Murphy.
It's such a spooky story. Apart from this, it's just like...
No, it's fine. Eddie Murphy would play him in the movie.
Yeah. it's just Norbit. So Brent Hasm said, the night that he watched The Ring for the first time, he was in his sister's room, which had a DVD/TV combo. When it ended, I had to get up and physically turn off the TV because we couldn't find the remote. It had been lost for months. So anyway, I go to sleep after turning it off, and no joke, about an hour after I fall asleep, the TV turns on and is on static. The real kicker here is that when I turn the TV off, it was on a blue screen that shows when the DVD source is empty. So to get to static, this TV had to switch sources by itself. That's spooky.
Oh my god. The first time I saw The Ring, I woke up at 5 a.m.
I died
for some
7
reason.
Days later.
The next day, I woke up at 5 a.m. for some reason. I remember I turned my bedside lamp on, and it fizzled and went out, and I remember just being like, are you kidding me? Are you being serious? Cheese on Discord says, after watching Signs in the theater with a friend, we saw green lights in the sky on the drive home. We joked about it, but we're both pretty spooked.
Oh, that's so dumb that we saw.
Have you ever seen a UFO or anything spooky like that?
I've seen shit at the sky. Yeah.
Shit in the Sky. That's the name of your ufology book. Shit in the Sky.
One, I was gonna message my parents and get them to see, because I wanted older people's stories like this as well. But my dad telling me that, because The Exorcist is, he always says, is the scariest movie he's ever seen. He saw it in the cinema when it came out, and then got home, it was late screening kind of thing, and then was locked out of his apartment. after watching the scariest thing he's ever seen.
Wow.
And then The Exorcist got him.
The Exorcist, the good guy of the movie. We've got one final one to go, and then we're done. And then we're free from this horrible... No, I'm just kidding.
So Sam Stanley on Facebook says, I actually haven't read this story in advance, so forgive
spooky.
Me if I get spooked midway through. I was volunteering at my church to unlock the doors and turn the lights on for the preschool church class the teenagers had. Wandering around the darkened hallways, I generally find comfort in. Oddly, that Monday morning, it reeked strongly of pine. I opened the gym door and turned on one set of dim lights, and huddled on the opposite side. We were about 20 or so pine trees. It's legitimately the freakiest encounter I've ever had in adulthood. I didn't find out until later that evidently a medieval fantasy themed wedding was held there, and the trees gave off the illusion of a forested setting. Still, to walk out inside a dimly lit gym at 5:30 a.m. to suddenly encounter a bunch of real trees, all weird.
That's some Twin Peaks lost kind of mystery. Twin just Pines. An out of place thing. Oh.
To this day, if I'm ever at anybody's house, if the window for the room I'm sleeping in is in proximity to a tree, I will keep the curtain shut. This additionally stems from a Boy Scout camping trip I was involved with when I was 12. The 15 of us rented a cabin, tinned the woods, no covering for the windows. Basically, anybody could see us doing everything at night with the lights on. Five of us went on a nature trail and we were goofing around. Ahead of us was a small bridge over a creek when suddenly all five of us just stopped. I remember thinking something didn't feel right in crossing that bridge, and the others felt the same. So we went back to the cabin. So there's another tie-in, fear of wooded setting at night. It thought that, that bridge story was going somewhere.
The trees is an interesting thing to have a fear of, but I think there's definitely meat there to make a horror movie.
Well, especially like trees at night and with them moving in the wind and shit like that is spoopy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Very spooky, guys. Thank you to everyone that sent us in a story, and I hope you've all enjoyed sort of celebrating what scares us together, because I think that's a really fun communal thing to do. Let us know what, you know, how many points you get, how many of these stories can you relate to, how many of them do you have something to add to or have a similar experience. I love this shit. I love just sitting around at night swapping spooky stories. I think it's such a fun thing to do. And yeah, thank you for listening, everybody, to our Spooktober episode on spooky pop cultural experiences. If you want to support the show, remember you can do that by following us on Twitter or Instagram. You can join the Discord again, which is show notes in there's a link to in the show notes, and you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/coldpopsha, where we're going to cut to our post-credit scene as soon as this movie stops, which is movie this music stops. Spooky. I'm losing all my words. The scariest thing of all. Richard, do you have any final thoughts on these spooky experiences?
Boo.
Oh god. Okay, welcome along, everybody, to the post-credit scene. This is a segment where at the end of each episode, if you give us $5 or more, if you donate that over at patreon.com/coldpopsha, you get to give us something to talk about in this, the post-credit scene. Richard, who is this post-credit scene from, and what is the scene itself?
This
what is the topic
comes
of the
to
scene?
Us from Sarah Velling, a.k.a. Maisel Mees, once quite an active fan who has disappeared off the face of the earth. So wherever you are, Sarah, we hope you're still listening, and we hope you're safe.
Please let us know you're okay. What spooky pop cultural experience did you have?
So Sarah asks, what's something / someone weird you love to see in a movie, even if it's so stupid or random? Dialogue, actor, song, style of cinematography, setting, etc. Now I've known this is coming for quite a while, and I very recently said to you I had a new favorite trope, and I said that to you so that I would remember for this thing. So now I can just search trope in our Facebook chat, and I can tell you that while you say your answer.
What was the question?
What's something you or someone you weird you love to see in a movie, even if it's so stupid or fully random?
I really like fictional brands and like histories of fictional brands. I really like when a fictional filmography of a you know, celebrity character or something like that. Things like I don't know, in Birdman, I like how it's not just Birdman, but there's three Birdmans, and it's like Birdman movies, and he turned down doing Birdman 4 and shit like that. I really like when people create fictional histories for the celebrities in their movies, or even like I don't know, fictional lolly like confectionery companies with histories and things like that. I live for that shit. I think that's so interesting, and it's in a lot of the media I consume, so I end up finding myself enjoying it quite a lot.
Yeah. Okay. The trope. Well, one trope I will mention that I love is when music is revealed to be diegetic. My favorite is that if you hear music playing and then you were introduced to a character and they take out their headphones and the music stops, or like they take out one headphone and it gets half as loud. I love that. The trope that I mentioned to you recently that I love is called lampshading XP coexistence. And so an XP is like a version of the fake off-brand version of something they create for the universe.
That's sort of exactly what I was saying before.
I actually wasn't paying attention to what you said.
I was basically talking about XPs.
Oh, well, that'll be fun for me to listen back to. But So yeah, it's when like in a show or a movie they introduce something and you're like, oh well, obviously they couldn't use the real name, and then when they reference, so one example that came to mind is in there's an episode of New Girl where they talk about a new dating app and they're like, yeah, you just swipe right to do this and swipe left to this. I can't remember the name they use, but then a character goes, oh, that sounds like Tinder, and it's like you think they've made this up because they can't use the word Tinder, and then they just say, oh yeah, like Tinder. But my favorite example is in The Homer They Fall, the episode of The Simpsons where Homer fights Frederick Tatum, and they introduce Lucius Sweet, who is a ripoff of Don King. And Homer sees the photo of Lucius Sweet with Moe, and he says, wow, Lucius Sweet, he's one of the biggest names in boxing. He's exactly as rich and as famous as Don King, and he looks just like him too. Yeah, another example is an American Dad in Family Land. The Smiths go to the titular park and discuss the legend of its founder, Roy Family, cryogenically freezing himself. Klaus says that it reminds him of Walt Disney, but Steve says he doesn't know who that is.
That is great. I think it's funny. Another example of The Simpsons where it's not done for comedy but does happen is the fact that in the show there's Rainier Wolfcastle is like an analog for Arnold Schwarzenegger, but then in the Simpsons movie they just use Arnold Schwarzenegger as the president, and I always thought that was interesting. Yeah. And like Rainier Wolfcastle isn't in the movie because
it's just like him with a different hair color.
Yeah.
Another one of this that's not like, again, like a non-lampshaded version. Lampshade is like when you point something out for comedic effect. Yeah. If you're not familiar with the trope name. The Simpsons has like Angelica Button is like their reoccurring Harry Potter ripoff, but J.K. Rowling's been in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of ruins it for me. I don't know if the joke of having Arnold Schwarzenegger be the president in the Simpsons movie was worth this kind of weird like trade-off.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.